The book of John is one of the most favored books of the Bible for preachers and teachers such as myself, and for good reason. I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit designed the book of John especially for the way that it presents the person of the Lord Jesus to our human minds. And while, yes, we do need all of the books of the Bible for us to fully grasp all that God wants us to know about the Lord Jesus, the book of John is special in that it presents him and his character and his attributes in such an intimate and personal manner that it causes us to want to know even more and more, creating in us a special kind of hunger and thirst. A hunger and thirst within our souls, much like the psalmist David described when he cried out there in Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Folks, this very desire takes place within my own soul as I read and as I study this precious book of John, and I hope that it'll do the same for you. Now, today, we'll begin our study of these truths given here in the book of John first by reading the simple but very profound first three verses of chapter 1, and then we'll talk about them. Listen to them as I read. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Now, as simple and as straightforward as these first few words are, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. It would seem that we should be able to grasp these words without difficulty. And to some extent we can. But then again, for the most part, we can't. We can't. And why is that? It's because our minds do so need to be able to fit these thoughts and these ideas into our usual manner of rational understanding before we can reasonably think through them and comprehend them. But these words here in John chapter 1 just aren't rational words, and they don't fit into an order for common reasoning. These words, the meaning of these words, can't be comprehended with ordinary sensibilities. They fit more within the category that's described later on in John chapter 6. There in verse 63, when Jesus said, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." These words, folks, that I just read for us are spirit. They are spirit, and they are far more perceived by our spirit than understood by our rational mind. Those words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. Now, we know from sitting in our church pews all these many years that the Word spoken of here doesn't refer to just syllables uttered from the mouth of God, but they are instead speaking about the very living person of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. And God confirmed that later on there in verse 14 by saying, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." But again, even these words are contrary to rational thought. A Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, it just doesn't fit our rational senses. Now, to comprehend them better, we need to go back another step in our understanding of exactly what these scriptures are telling us about the Lord Jesus. These words tell us about a beginning long before Jesus' human birth, long before the Word became flesh, a beginning even before the beginning spoken about in those first few verses there in the book of Genesis. Listen to those words, Genesis chapter 1, verse Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now note simply that these words in the book of Genesis speak about the creation of the heavens and the earth. But the words that we're studying there in the book of John speak first and simply about the presence of God, not creation, about the presence of God. Those words again, verse 1 of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. These words tell us a simple but profound story, a story about a time, actually before time as we know it ever began, a time before the creation spoken about there in Genesis chapter 1 actually took place, a time before time, a time when there was only God. And here in this book of John, we're being told that God was not only God the Father, but he was also God the Word. They were both there together in the beginning. One God, but separate from each other. Separate from each other. God the Word and God the Father. Two individual persons with each other. They were with each other. And yes, this truth is so profound and so incomprehensible that our human minds can never fully grasp an understanding of it. But by faith, folks, by faith, and through the help of God's Holy Spirit, we can trust that these words are true. Here, simply put, we have God's plainest explanation about the existence of the first two beings within the Holy Trinity, God the Father and God the Son. And then, graciously, he fills in the remaining part of the mysterious existence within the Trinity with verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, where he tells us, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. It was then that the creation of the heavens and the earth began. And here in verse 3 of our passage in the book of John, we're told that this creation, as we see it today, was all created by this one God in the Trinity, the one who is called the Word, the Lord Jesus. Listen again to those words. This is John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. We're being told here, folks, that Jesus, a man, a human being in our eyes, was first, back there in the beginning, God. He was God. And as God, he was the voice of God, the spoken word of God, the fully divine revelation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who would, there in the beginning, simply by the power within his voice, speak all of creation into existence. Isn't that amazing? And no, that's not an easy explanation to understand about what God means here when he calls Jesus the Word. But oh, dear Christian, to the best of our human understanding, this is exactly what God is saying to us. That is exactly what God is saying to us. And then to further complicate our meager ability to understand his divine nature, we find here that Jesus was not only the spoken words and thoughts of God, the Father, he was also ever and always a separate person. A separate person, somehow the same with God the Father, but a completely separate person. These words clearly tell us here that he, the Lord Jesus, was in the beginning with the Father. He was with the Father, separate, yes, but yet he and the Father were one. They were separate, but they were also one. Not just one in a figurative sense, like one in purpose, but literally one. Folks, you and I have been believers for so long that we've forgotten just how complicated this can sound. And if it's so complicated for you and me, how much more is it completely incomprehensible for the unbelieving mind? There is no wonder at all, that the wisdom of the wise of this world can make no sense of it. They can make no sense of it. That's why our Lord reminds us that such truth can only be discerned by the Holy Spirit who lives within those of us who have received Him as Savior and Lord. I recall some years ago as I watched news analysts interviewing some so-called religious experts about the movie The Passion of the Christ. There was a silly and pathetic dialogue that passed between those people. Men and women with PhDs in religious studies who knew absolutely nothing about the God that they were analyzing, thinking that they were sounding so intelligent and so believable with their wonderful words of wisdom flowing and dripping from their lips, but all the while their explanations falling so pitifully short of real truth. They didn't realize that they looked more like little children who didn't understand the rules of some game that they were playing, as if a ball were bouncing all around them, and they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to respond to it, so they just made up their own silly rules, looking so pathetic and foolish in the process. But sadly, folks, sadly, that same response can hold true for even some of those of us who believe. God is the creator, and He is the designer of all that we are, and He has defined all of the rules that govern it all. And if and as we try to redefine His plan and make up our own set of rules, we can also look and sound and act very, very foolish with our attempts. Again, the main sticking point is that God's truths and His ways are not rational. They are not rational. They are spirit, and they are truth. Believers and unbelievers alike can easily go astray of God's plans and purposes if we aren't constantly aware of that. We'll never be able to neatly fit God's rationale into our own. Our minds are simply too small. They're too small. I listened as those so-called religious experts tried to explain why Pilate acted the way that he did towards Jesus and towards those Jewish priests. And all of their explanations sounded so plausible to themselves and to anyone who wanted to think as they thought. But folks, the only real truth lies in the simple words of Scripture and in the plan that God had made with Jesus before the foundations of the earth had ever been laid, the plan for the redemption of men and women through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. That's the only real truth, and that truth doesn't fit very well into the rationale of human wisdom. Jesus was a real man who came to this earth for the express purpose of dying on that cross and offering Himself as a propitiation for our sins. But He was also the God who, from eons past, had coexisted with God the Father in the eternal courts of the Trinity. He created the very ground that He would stumble and fall over as He carried His cross. He created Golgotha, the place of His death. And yes, it's hard for even us who have been believers for so long to fathom such a thought as that. That beaten and broken man being the very creator of all that exists. But He was, folks, and He is. It was, and it is as simple as these words here in John 1 are saying. But do you and I truly and completely believe that it's all true? Listen again to these words. This is John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Your and my problem begins when we wander over into the need for rationale, the need for rationale. Hanging around in Christian academic circles, I've heard it said often that God wants you and me to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with special emphasis on the mind. To love God with all of our mind. And that is true. That is true. The rational mind is an important vessel of God. But I find that the academic approach to explaining God and his ways often spends more time attempting to disprove his word than to appreciate it. We will read with full unquestioned acceptance of the historical fact that George Washington, for instance, was our first president. But very quickly, we'll be willing to hedge in our acceptance of just how and when Jesus created this earth. Was it in 6 literal days? Or was it in 6 figurative days? Or was it, as our evolutionists say, billions of years? Billions of years. When we insist that the incomprehensible become rationally comprehensible, just so it can fit within our particular mental capacities, then we are sure to end up with a foolish blend of truth and nonsense. The simple answer to our dilemma of understanding is that before we can truly know God with our mind, we have to accept him fully with our faith. Because it really is true that without faith, it is impossible, absolutely and completely impossible, to know God. No sense can ever be made out of this gospel except through the eyes and the ears of faith, listening to the Spirit, God's Spirit, ministering to our spirit to give us understanding. Jesus said those words there in John chapter 16. Listen to what he said there beginning in verse 13. He said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." When we read and listen and see through the eyes of faith, all of this will come alive to us, folks, and we can believe it with our whole heart, our soul, mind, and strength. Now, let me say all of this again so that we're sure to grasp it. Here in John chapter 1, the words are plain and pure. In the beginning, before all of time and earth and heaven and even angels, there was only God. There was only God. And God was one person in 3 persons. That's incomprehensible, yes. But it's true. Absolutely true. And one of those 3 persons was Jesus, who would later be born as a man. A human son of the Father. Also incomprehensible to us. But true. But true. He was there in the beginning with God. And he was God, the same as the Father, but separate. Yes, incomprehensible, but true. And yes, Jesus was the begotten Son of the Father. And he was also the Word, the spoken power of God, that had the ability to imagine and to create all that there is in existence. Also incomprehensible, but true. Jesus, this living Word of God, carefully crafted and created all there is in existence. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, we're told that, "By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. God's command here, folks, is His Word, and His Word is the very person of Jesus speaking creation into existence, out of nothing, just by His voice, His command, His Word. John chapter 1, verse 3, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And then also, in the book of Colossians chapter 1, we're told that, for by Him all things were created. This is the Lord Jesus. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Now, why is it so important for us to fully believe and to trust that these words here in John chapter 1 are absolutely true without any variance, that Jesus was the one who was with God the Father, that He is holy God without beginning and without end? We need to accept and believe it firstly, because it is the truth, the absolute truth. And then we need to believe it because these words in John chapter 1 are foundational to the core of all that we must believe to be saved. They establish that Jesus was not just a man, a simple human being like you and me, but He was also God. He was also God, deity at its highest level, co-equal with God the Father and God the Spirit, and able to have the righteousness needed to pay our debt of sin and to save us eternally. Cults like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, they relegate Jesus to the level of being only a man. A divine man, yes, but still only a man. Only a man. But folks, that's not enough. Jesus needs to be God, truly God, and He is. Those words again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That truth given here in these words of John chapter 1 establishes Jesus as having the power and the authority to do all and to be all that He says He is. And because He is who He is, and because He has fulfilled all that He came to do. Verse 9, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those are precious words given in Philippians chapter 2. Now, because Jesus is who He is, and because He has fulfilled all that He came to do, we will someday stand alongside the Apostle John in heaven and see and hear, as we're told in Revelation chapter 5, the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 upon 10,000. They encircled the throne, the living creatures, and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that's in them singing, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Folks, this Lamb that's spoken about here is the very same Jesus that walked among us and shed His own blood as a ransom for us. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You and I are not required to comprehend Him or to be able to explain Him, but we are required to trust in Him. We're told that in Romans chapter 11. Those words, and we'll close. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God, that God should repay them. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Pray with me, will you? Oh, dear Father, we confess this is all so difficult to understand, but by faith we know that it's true. The Lord Jesus created it all, and then he came and he saved our souls through his shed blood on the cross. How amazing he is. And we thank you for him. We pray these words in Jesus' name. Amen.